Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's the Bart Winkler Show. Great to be with you here tonight, coast to coast. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I heard a show as I was driving home that is on similar hours, not sports. And this gentleman proclaimed to be the only live coast-to-coast late-night program. I almost called in. And I think I still might. I got to throw my weight around these parts, I think is what I need to do. Now we're live, man. We're live. It's 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast, just past midnight on Central Time. Who gets the New Year's shift here? There's no way I'm ever working December 31st on this show.
Yeah, that's not my problem. It's not ours. We've worked hard to get to where we are, and someone else will have to pick up the slack.
Well, also, December 31st, may I tell you, is my anniversary.
You have mentioned that.
Yeah, it's my anniversary, so I have to take the day off. I'm not a birthday taker offer. Am I going to get you on your birthday, or are you going to be deucing out of here?
I most likely might be deucing out of here, but not because of my own volition.
You're turning 40.
Yeah, it is my 40th. So I think my wife is going to want to do something, and it's on a Monday. So chances are that weekend might be pretty brutal.
All right. Yeah, I got a Monday too. I'm on a Monday. Fun
times have y'all.
I don't know. I stopped taking off for my birthday when I was like 26.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, the last couple of birthdays, I don't even remember what I did. I'll be very honest. I think the last one I remembered, I was like, oh, this is cool. My wife took me when I turned 35. We went to Vegas. We did a little weekend trip. That was fun.
Now, I always check the calendar if the Milwaukee Brewers are at home on my birthday, and for like 10 years they weren't. And then the year they finally were, the Yankees were coming to town on May 19th, my birthday. Yep, that's my birthday. Then COVID happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they haven't been, because I want to go to a game on my birthday. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
It's a summer-ish birthday.
Yeah.
But they are home this year. They are home. I don't know. It's a Monday.
Who are they playing?
Baltimore.
I'm all right. You know, Baltimore, young up and coming team. You know, go see Gunnar Henderson.
But also, I mean, Jackson, if I really wanted to, the game, the first pitch is 2.5 hours before the show starts. So I could go for an hour and a half on my birthday.
No, then why go at all?
I went to the Cubs game with you on Friday and then worked.
Yeah, but the Cubs game was also at 2 o'clock, you know, local time.
And what did I have you buy me at the stadium?
Soda?
Michelob Zero.
Oh, all right. I thought you wanted me to lie for you, but okay. You know, yes, it was a low volume alcoholic beverage.
No, that's a zero. I bought a zero.
Oh, was it a zero? I thought it was like a low beer.
No, that was a zero. I bought the NA.
Oh, that's right. You did ask for an NA. I wondered what the NA stood for, and now that I'm actually saying it, non-alcoholic. I'm a moron.
You didn't know that?
I thought it was Michelob North America.
Shut up.
I am dead serious.
As opposed to, I mean, have you had a delicious Michelob SA? Are those pretty good?
What's an
Michelob
SA?
E?
Super alcoholic?
No, South America.
Oh, yeah.
Super alcoholic.
A Michelob EU. You know, that one's got like double alcohol in that one. Whatever's left over, you put in your gas tank. It'll get you to point B.
NA, non-alcoholic.
Yeah, I did not realize that until right now.
Yeah, that was a non-alcoholic beer you bought me.
Jeez, what a waste of money. You might as well just ask me to set my debit card on fire.
It was $9.99. It was, and the regular beers are like $15.99.
Yeah, the so extra $5 is for goodness.
It should be It should be $4.99.
I'll drink water at that point.
It basically was. Yeah, okay. So happy birthday soon to both of us.
Sure.
The NFL draft coming up much sooner. We'll not be off for that. We'll be covering it for you. And the first overall pick is going to be Cam Ward. The odds makers have it at minus 20,000, which is like, he's already a Titan. Okay? He's already a Titan. Abdul Carter, 16-1 odds if you want to get crazy. But Cam Ward to the Titans. So then what's next? What are the Browns going to do? What are the Browns going to do? Because what I've been saying is I think that there will be four quarterbacks taken in the first round. Or at least I am open to the possibility of it, but I've gone so far now, and I want to be given some credit if I am right. If I'm wrong, I didn't see it coming, big deal. But if I'm right, I'm the only one saying this. So I'm saying it. Four quarterbacks first round. Well, how does that have to happen? For that to happen, Cam Ward needs to go one. Shadur needs to go two or three for that to happen. Or at least in the top 10. Because I need to get to a point where Jackson Dart goes to the Steelers. And then the fourth quarterback is somebody trading up into the first round, getting a guy who they have a fifth-year option on. And that's four quarterbacks in the first round, because that's a first-round thing. That's why you see teams trade into the first round. Now, nobody's traded into the first round yet. Everybody's got their picks. I don't know that that's ever happened. The latest it's been this way was all the way back, I believe, in 94, whichever year it was that Joe Montana got traded from the Niners to the Chiefs for a first-round pick. We've never been this late where everybody's had their first-round pick. Nobody traded it last year. Nobody's traded it during the season. Nobody's trading it here. I would expect we get some trades on draft day, and the most likely target would be somebody going up, maybe for one of these guys, or somebody getting back into the first round. Well, Adam Schefter does a podcast, and for reasons I'm not sure why, but he does it with Ty Schmidt, the guy from the Pat McAfee show. And they were talking about how now with the Browns at two, because my whole thinking is Shadur's going two or three. And my thinking was he's going to the Browns. Where's Shadur going to go? We don't know yet. We'll get into that. I just think there's too many plays that he's put on tape that other quarterbacks don't have on their tape that are unteachable. Especially his big play ability. I do think he has a pocket presence. I do think he's accurate. I think there's a lot of things you can't teach that Shadur has. But the Browns may pass on him for who? If they don't draft him, who's it going to be? Abdul Carter, right? That's what people have been talking about? Nope. Now we're on to a new one.
Several weeks ago, you said, hey, I think the Browns are going quarterback at number two, no matter what, given their situation. Now things unfold. It could be Travis Hunter. It could be Abdul Carter. We have no idea. What are you thinking is going to happen at two for the Browns?
Well, that's the thing with the draft, Ty. It's a moving target, and it constantly evolves, and teams' needs and desires change along the way as they go through the evaluation process. A couple of months ago, I was of the mind and the impression, based on things people told me, that the Browns were likely to go quarterback. And they were. But that was because they wanted Cam Ward. And Cam Ward isn't going to be there at number two. And so once they realized that, they came off that. And then we shifted to Abdul Carter, where there were a lot of people that felt like the Browns were going to take Abdul Carter and match him opposite Myles Garrett. And you know what? They still could. They still might. But the latest intel now is that I believe Travis Hunter is the more likely pick at two today, a couple of weeks out of the NFL draft, for a couple of different reasons. I think the Cleveland Browns watched him on Friday at his pro day, and they saw somebody that could move like nobody else. I think that going into that day, they viewed him as somebody they could play at wide receiver, and I think sprinkle in defensive back. So I think he could play two ways for them, but I think they may think of him more as a receiver than a cornerback, and they're going to need him to concentrate. And I think he brings them some star power, and there are a lot of people who believe he is the single best player in this draft. So there's a lot of reasons why we could see him going number two, but it is kind of interesting that I feel like it's shifted from the quarterback to Abdul Carter to Travis Hunter today, and who knows if and when it'll shift again before the draft.
The Adam Schefter podcast. There you go. What promotion from me to Adam? What a favor I'm doing. Would he ever play 2 minutes of my show on his? No. Does he know me from the guy who gave him his coffee this morning? No. He knows Ty Schmidt. Pretty cool. So here's what I want to say before I say anything else, is that I don't trust Adam Schefter. I don't trust any of these guys. I think there's a couple things at work here. I think they're being fed information one way or another to then broadcast so that other teams start to adjust off of that. Oh, Adam Schefter said this, that must mean. Well, but how did he get that information? The information started, it traveled, and it came out of Adam's mouth. Where did it start, and how did it get there? That's important. That we never know, because we never know sources. Now, typically, when these guys are reporting throughout the season, I take a lot of them for their word. They're reporters reporting the news. They're not going to give up their sources because then they're not going to give the information. But this specific time of the year, I don't trust any of it because it's all a game. It's all a game. We got a draft coming up. People are trying to jockey for position. They're trying to figure out who wants what. You leak false information to try to see what kind of reaction it gets and how people move and pivot off of that. Adam's a mark. He knows that. And sometimes I don't know if Adam's got an agenda. Some of these guys, like, they're so connected with these agents. How do we know it's not a little scratch my back situation? I don't. That's why I can honestly, happily tell you that everything I've ever said on these airwaves, on this program, has been 100% all me, because I'm not important enough to have somebody come to try to bribe. Not yet. I hope to be someday. I hope to get to a point where the things I say on the radio are not my opinions or my knowledge, but other people bribing me to say that. That would mean I've made it. I've not made it yet. Not that big. Not that big. Hey, you're on the radio. Yeah. Hey, you got your own show. Yeah. Hey, you're nationwide. Yes. Hey, you're getting bribes. Not yet. Not there quite yet. So that I want to say before I say, interesting that the Browns might see Hunter as more of a receiver than a corner, because the Patriots seem to see more. I said that very Schefter-y. Patriots. The Patriots seem to be more, Hunter, you're going to be a cornerback instead of wide receiver. I think the Browns are taking Shadur. I think the Browns are taking Shadur. That's what I think. Now, the odds in Vegas, as I said, Cam Ward, number one. And then at number two, right now, you've got Travis Hunter, minus 250, Abdul Carter, plus 160. That just means Hunter is a decent favorite over Carter. And then Carter then would be projected to be number three. Hunter, the next choice, if he doesn't go two. And then Shadur Sanders, 10-1 to Cleveland, 4-1 to the Browns. So odds makers think, or 4-1 to the Giants, odds makers think it's more likely that if he gets drafted top three, it will be at three and not at two. I still think it's two. Because I would question. I'll ask you this, Carlos. Are the Giants passing on Shadur, or are they taking him?
I feel like it's so 50-50 right now, where I would have said, like, last week, they definitely would take him. The week before that, I thought they were definitely going to take him. A month ago, I thought that they were going to take Travis Hunter. Now it's like, who the hell knows what's going to happen? I think this totally depends on Cleveland. And I think you've said it here that you expect the Giants to, like, you know, call Cleveland, see what it takes to go from 3-2 if they really want Shadur. I actually think they're very content to just stand pat and let whatever happens. They can only get jumped once if Cleveland is going to indeed trade back. And I don't think they will. I think Cleveland will take Shadur Sanders. They need a quarterback in the worst way. And I think the Giants were like, they like Shadur. I don't think they love him. If he's there, they might take him. It really depends on what Cleveland does. If they go with Shadur, I think they take Abdul Carter. If they take Carter, then it's a toss between Sanders and Hunter. It's who knows? I think for me, because I've waffled on all three players for the last month or so, I think I want Abdul Carter over everybody else. And this is a complete 180 of what I said last month with you. Because Abdul Carter, I've seen what happens.
Oh, well, you just didn't like that he's from Pennsylvania.
And I've seen it with Saquon Barkley. I see a guy who grows up as an Eagles fan, plays for Penn State, balls out of control, and does not get that second contract, only to go take the I-95 down to Philadelphia. Abdul Carter will somehow become a Philadelphia Eagle if he gets drafted by the Giants. But, dude, he could be our version of Micah Parsons. He's that good. So I think my short wish list is I want Carter 1, Shadur Sanders 2, Travis Hunter 3.
I just feel like there's a lot of conversation on Shadur Sanders that is just being made up. I don't know. Listen, this is more from the Adam Schefter podcast, where he's talking about teams that are like drafting at 10:30 at night, possibly taking Shadur Sanders.
Expected, non-talked about scenarios. Miami has so much money tied up in Tua that after this year, there's a way out of that contract with the health questions. Like, maybe, again, I'm not telling you they're doing it. We're talking and imagining. I don't think it's likely, but I'm not completely dismissing it. I don't think Arizona's likely, but there have been questions about Kyler Murray. There have been questions about the owner not being a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
What if all of a sudden they take Shadur Sanders and then it puts him in a position where they can move on from Kyler Murray? Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford. Again, this is, to me, going to be the great question of round, where does Shadur Sanders go? Because it doesn't look like 2 or 3. So is he going 9 to New Orleans, 21 to Pittsburgh? Is he going to the Browns or Giants who trade back up? Or is there a wild card scenario out there that we don't see, that we haven't talked about, that we're missing the way that many people missed last year, Michael Penix and the Atlanta Falcons?
It doesn't look like he's going 2 or 3. From what? From where? And I know he's way more connected and plugged in to the NFL than I am, even though I am an owner. I don't give him any intel. That's the issue there. Green Bay Packers owner. I Shadur's not falling to 26 to the Rams. Are we kidding ourselves here?
Yeah, he's not falling that hard, but you don't.
Even if he doesn't go 2 or 3, I think teams start to look around and be like, well, he's fair game now. Let's trade up.
Yeah, I can see top 10, but I mean, did you look at Shadur Sanders' pro day? And that's supposed to be a controlled environment. That's supposed to be where you look like unstoppable shining star. I remember Zach Wilson throwing in shorts, making across the body throws, and the Jets thought he was the greatest thing coming since Peyton Manning. So they took him. So the pro day is supposed to make you look like an NFL Pro Bowler. I don't think teams got the sense that Shadur was that magnificent in his Pro Bowl, or in his Pro Day, rather.
Oh, dude, I'd take over a team. I'd be like, here's what we're not doing. We're not going to any Pro Day. We're not wasting any money
time.
On this.
I agree.
We're not going to any Combine. You want to know how they play? Look at the tape.
That I am with you 1,000%. I think the Combine does have a little bit of significance. You know, Kenny Pickett's hand sizes. You know, is that why he has been bouncing around from team to team? Who knows?
He's got the same hand size as me, and I wear children's gloves.
So those measurables, I would take that to account. But I think you got to take the Combine at like 5 to 10%, and 10 is very high. I'd probably go closer to 5. 95% of how did they play on tape? That tells you everything that you needed to know. And you said this a couple of months ago. What changes between, the draft night and the last thing that you saw him in terms of college? All it is just the stupid combines, pro days. Nobody's playing. All these mock drafts, they're all just theoretical. People are just trying to throw things out there and see what sticks. None of this, all this stuff is smoke and mirrors. Schefter's just talking out of his ass.
So I like Cam Ward at 1. I like Shadur at either 2 or 3, probably 2. I like Jackson Dart to the Steelers, and I like somebody to trade up and get another quarterback. I'm still going 4 quarterbacks in the first round of the draft coming up in a couple of weeks. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
We did change the number a few weeks ago, above our pay grade. But it happened, and we move on. And people still coming around to it, still finding out about it. We had Lee in Baltimore last night, finally caught it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think I'm about to give up on Barry in Boston. I do not think we'll ever hear from him again. I thought of him right away when we changed our number. I thought it was going to be too much for this young man. And I think that the Barry in Boston era is over.
What's that?
I know. Robert's in Annapolis. Someone said some kind words about you tonight. How you doing?
I did. That was probably Jeff's best comment, best thing he said in that whole call that he had. But by the way, I gave out my age there when I said dial one. What was the last time you ever dialed a number? Anyhow, on tonight's topics, the most notorious fan that ever caught a baseball was a little twerp named Jeffrey Mayer. Do you recognize that name?
Who? Yankees from Orioles. From? Yeah, Yankees Orioles.
Yeah.
96? Was that 96?
Right. Well, it was back in those 96, 97 time frame, and they punished him by seating him in the box seat the next game. Anyhow, on Shadur Sanders, the worst thing that could happen to him is to be drafted by the Browns. As I've said before, Cleveland has the Boot Hill of talented college quarterbacks getting drafted, and their careers going nowhere in Cleveland. It's not important where a player is selected in the draft, other than the finances, it's by whom he's drafted. You look at players like Lamar Jackson, picked the last pick in the first round. Brock Purdy, the last player in the entire draft selected by the 49ers. If you go to a good organization, your chances are much better that you'll have a successful career. And one other thing you mentioned, you were talking about technology with the tickets. I have the same feelings about that. But however, if it was 20 years ago, on Thursday night, we'd be having the Bart Winkler list of 8. Here in 2025, we have the Bartometer list of the top 8. You, sir, are a proponent of technology, and yet you're criticizing it. As Carlos has said, he has stayed friendly to AI, so he will not suffer the consequences when they take over. And thanks for taking my call, even though you only put me on here on the last half hour of the show.
That's the best half hour of the show.
What are you? AI.
It's when we have the most clearance. Last half hour of the show.
I'll check in tomorrow on my comment on my guy, Ovechkin. I have some interesting comments, but it warrants being done earlier in the show so we can get some responses from callers. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate you taking my call.
We do Guess What They Said. It's our best segment. We do that in the last half hour of the show. We do that Mondays and Fridays. Robert. Show shaming. I don't know that I like that. By the way, I can't be totally against technology because if this was 20 years ago, they would have probably made me move to New York to do the show instead of letting me do it from Milwaukee.
Bart Winkler, the enemy of all AI.
So I do appreciate that. But also, the time to be in radio was like late 80s, early 90s. You could go to a remote, you could go to a gas station, you could go to a car dealership. You were, as a DJ, as big of a celebrity as the artist that you played. I went to some of these remotes. Which one are you? Which one are you? Which one are you? I'm Bart Winkler. I'm wearing a name tag that says Bart Winkler. I'm live during the hours of the Bart Winkler show. No, I would know if you're him. All right. Brent is in Myrtle Beach.
So, two of my favorite moments on the Bart Winkler show is one. That's not one of them. Is when Robert is debating with you how to say the number to your show, which I find hilarious. And the other one I think of is the guy that called up. I don't know if he had any like drug influence, but he tried to tell you he came up with double doink.
Oh, yeah. Double doink. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you played like the actual, you know, I forget if it was Collinsworth or Al
Collinsworth
Michaels
and Tirico. Yeah, they had double doink.
Yeah, but one of them actually said double doink, and he was just like, ah, oh, okay.
Yeah, he rocked his world that night.
I know. He probably went home and actually got a good night's sleep after that. You saved the world, Bart.
Thank you.
The idea I was bringing up was when you have people like talking heads like Schefter, I don't think they're always aware of when they're getting used. And I know that they have these relationships trying to get all this information out and whatnot, but they can also be used in situations just kind of so the chessboard kind of gets moved around by these franchises. What it actually made me think about was, like 7 years ago, Josh Allen was getting drafted, and that's when the story came out that he had like the racist tweet back when he was in like ninth grade or something. And the first thing I thought of was some team's trying to get him to drop so he's still available because they really want him.
And yeah, I think I don't think that Schefter. I feel like Schefter's got to know at points where he's being played or not. What I don't think the audience knows, and I think Schefter doesn't think the audience think they know. Like, he thinks that we're stupid because we are.
Yeah, well, and that would kind of be supported by the whole, like, I can't believe Aaron Rodgers hasn't made a decision now. And it's like,
oh yeah, that was so weird. That was the like, morning of free agency.
Yeah, man, it's like, are you playing your audience, Schefter? Like they're that stupid? Like, oh, girl, this highly unpredictable person has not made a predictable action, and I'm gonna throw my fist up at the air, like, girl. But
yeah,
anyway, just some thoughts. I think sometimes things get leaked and said to him because I think franchises are trying to fluctuate when a certain player might be actually available during the draft.
But oh, absolutely. Anyway. And then the whole Laremy Tunsil thing, Brent, thanks for the call, where he had the gas mask and he was smoking. Like, why'd that get leaked? Was somebody wanting to leak? There's this, because they wanted him. There's so many things that are nefarious, and they're playing with the lives and futures of these young guys. But this is the edge that people are trying to get. This is the edge that people are trying to look for. And I do believe that, and it's not just Adam Schefter, and I played some of his clips, but a lot of these guys, especially now, like, I'm not saying that I don't trust the media. I think that, you know, there for a while we're like, who's the leaker? Who's the source? And I mean, that's how it works. You're not going to get information out of places if you have to expose every time who the person is. Then we like would know nothing. But there are agendas. And people don't always leak information. People leak agendas sometimes. And teams maybe leak that somebody's not interested, or they pretend to not be interested, or whatever, to maybe drive up trade value. Or, you know, even 2 weeks ago, Schefter was trying to say, oh, the Titans are open to a trade. No, they're not. They're just throwing it out there. Hey, you know, if we get a Godfather offer. Let me get Brandon in Chicago here. Brandon, what's up?
What up, Dubs and Los? Thanks for taking my call, man. Golden age of radio, the 90s, man. You got Mancow and Turd on Q101. You know, Johnny B on the
Johnny
loop.
Johnny B on the loop.
Yeah.
Fond du Lac native.
Is he really?
Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah.
I think he still does shows like or podcasts.
I got my start in the same studio where he used to work.
Man, that's awesome, bro. That's really cool. But the reason why I was calling just about the, you know, when you brought up Montana being traded, I kind of thought about, you know, crazy thing that could happen, you know, with the draft, you know, with Luka being traded and everything. Who knows? Maybe we could see some crazy stuff go down. But what if Dallas moved up, you know, and traded Dak to the Browns and maybe drafted Abdul and then, you know, put a package together where they would get like Jaden Milroe, or maybe they really want Shador, you know? And
I just don't see the Cowboys trading Dak, man. Maybe I'm dumb. Do they even want to? Who's saying that they want to?
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, he's injured, and you know, he's been injured the past couple of years. His production has gone down. You know, maybe that's on the back of Jerry's mind and he's not, you know, showing his cards. You know what I mean? Till the last day. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. And then just to wrap up March Madness, man, if anybody has a chance to experience March Madness in Vegas, man, it's really cool. It's once-in-a-lifetime thing, man. You got baseball going on. I was there in 23 when Gonzaga lost to UCLA in the swings in that game, man. I had a lot of money on that game. And oh, my God, the ups and downs, though. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up.
You think it's once in a lifetime? You don't think you'll ever do that again? That sounds like it could be more like 50 times in a lifetime. You go every year.
Yeah, honestly, it probably will. I mean, I usually go there probably like 2 times a year. So what am I talking about?
Yeah. All right, Brandon. Good to talk to you.
Cool, man. Can't wait for that play-in game. Going to be going to it with the Bulls next week.
We'll call up after. With a live report about how that was, Brandon. Appreciate the call. I'll say what I said about Dak Prescott. Well, first of all, I'm a Dak Prescott stan. Sorry. I just think he's good. But I also, this is the rational take I'll give you. Wherever you rank him, if you rank your quarterbacks, wherever you rank him, you're ranking him 2 to 4 spots too low.
Whoa!
Yeah. People rank him too low. People put him at like 14. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Wow!
Let's get an update from Marco Belletti. I'm Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz, a little on-air producing. Yeah, it's the last segment of the show. I hope we can do something productive, Robert. We would like to either do... So we were talking about doing like a, you know, what WTF, like a crazy kind of like... thing, right? Do the little kicker story.
Yep, just waiting for imaging on that.
Did you send it in?
I've only sent it in like, it feels like a month ago.
Because I feel we could do that, but I think some nights we could also do, like I use this segment to be petty. So, because I'm kind of like, I get petty throughout the show, right? I mean.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, but if I could hold it in, I could be petty at the end. We could play Tom Petty, waiting is the hardest part. It was so hard to wait to be so petty. Because I have to point something out that is not of relevance to most people that are about to hear it. I know that's a great endorsement and a great lead-in for Pat Boyle. I apologize. But I have to point this out because I get so mad about it for so many reasons.
And I'm bigger than no man I've ever met.
I played this clip before. Brian Windhorst is on a podcast with Tim Bontemps of ESPN. And the way Bontemps is so dismissive, I don't know if it's his accent or his tone or what it is, because the Bucks made a couple of trades at the deadline, including shipping out Marjon Beauchamp, who they never played, to the Clippers, and I believe they cut him, for Kevin Porter Jr. And Bontemps wasn't having it. That this was coming off after Kevin Porter Jr. had a triple-double off the bench against Dallas.
We'll point out Kevin Porter Jr., which was one of those deals.
Kevin Porter Jr. ain't going to be doing a damn thing in the playoffs.
Well, first off,
say that right now. We can't be coming here with we got Kevin Porter Jr. playing minutes right now. Like, come on.
So very dismissive. Okay. And turning out to be wrong, we're not in the playoffs yet, but Kevin Porter Jr. over his last three games, I mean, tonight he was 21-5-5. The other night he was 28-4. The game before that against the Heat, he was 24-12-8. These are productive minutes that you would kill for at the trade deadline. I'm a sports talk radio host. I cover pretty much everything. I get some stuff wrong. I'm thinking if you're covering solely the NBA, you have to be right more often than not. And if you're going to be wrong, you can't be so dismissive about something and then be wrong. So very petty on Tim Bontemps. Don't like it. Also petty on this as a Bucks fan. Remember when they fired Adrian Griffin for Doc Rivers and everyone's like, whoa, what are you doing? Well, there were problems internally that the rest of the world didn't see. And now Taylor Jenkins gets fired from the Grizzlies and Michael Malone gets fired from the Nuggets. And people say, oh, there's problems there that you didn't see. And everyone's like, oh, okay, I understand. But with the Bucks, it was like, no way, dude. You're 31-13, dude. Adrian Griffin, dude. Where has he been? He's not one of these coaches you fire right away. 29 other teams fire their coach for him. Where has he been? So why are we so dismissive and aggressive, maybe counteracting, at the Bucks? The Michael Malone thing is interesting to me because I have been somebody who has talked about if you have a lame duck coach and GM, it's better to just move on because they're just going to be protecting their own interest rather than the team's interest. So that would be applicable where, like, I think the New York Giants are maybe moving on from their coach and GM. Are they going to draft in the best interest of team long-term, or are they trying to just win 8 games so they can keep their job? But I don't know. I know I said that to begin with, but I don't know that that applies here. Michael Malone's best interest is to have this team win so that he can continue to coach, unless he like wants out and wants to backdoor the Spurs job or something. But the Nuggets, there was a quote we played earlier from Josh Kroenke about, well, not play hard and have fun. That should be the team slogan. Fans should wear that ironically. But about how there were times where we wanted to do it. We wanted to fire him, but we were winning, so we couldn't. If you wanted to do it, do it. You waited for a 4-game losing streak, 3 games before the playoffs. This is not going to give you a burst. It's not going to give the Grizzlies a burst. The only way either of these teams are going to win a playoff series is if they play each other. And I can say that defiantly because if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter because I don't exclusively cover the NBA. I got a lot of irons in the fire. And also, I'm not going to be wrong. Just like I'm not wrong about Aaron Rodgers, who's going to sign with the Steelers in the summertime. Okay, you are going to have 4th of July decorations coming down before Rodgers signs with the Steelers, which you will in the summer. Toby Altizer joined us. Thank him out of D.C. Marco Belletti, Carlos Ortiz. Pat Boyle is coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.